This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published by the Masonic Service Association of North America every month since 1923. This, the Short Talk Bulletin podcast, is produced in cooperation with the MSA and is made possible with the generous support of a grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota. Volume 57, number 4, from April of 1979. Ashlers, Rough and Perfect.
This is Brother Daniel Margasa, Amity Mosaic, Danvers, Massachusetts. We are pleased to present this paper prepared by the eminent Masonic scholar J. Fairbairn Smith, editor emeritus of the Detroit Masonic World. Raised a Lewis at the age of 18 in the lodge at Hawick, Scotland in 1925, Brother Smith has become one of the most respected of Masonic journalists. He is a moldstone from the quarry of Masonic life. An eminent sculptor was once asked, "How do you carve such beautiful statues?" He replies, "It is the simplest thing in the world. I take a hammer and a chisel, and from a massive shapeless rock, I knock off all the stone I do not want. And there is the statue. It was there all the time." In every Masonic lodge room, there is, or should be, the rough ashlar and the perfect ashlar. These two and the trestle board constitute our movable jewels. What is their significance? What do they have to do with masonry? In our monitorial work, we are taught that the rough ashlar is the stone as taken from the quarry in its rude and natural state, and that the perfect ashlar is a stone made ready by the hands of the workman to be adjusted by the working tools of the fellow craft. The rough ashlar was not a stone that was merely picked up somewhere. It was a stone that has been selected. Some work was done upon it. It was apparently a good stone. It was a stone that showed good prospects of being capable and being made into a perfect ashlar. If it had not been a good stone, it would have never been cut from the quarry. So it is with our prospective member. He cannot merely be picked up somewhere. He must be selected before he is ready to be initiated. Some work must be done upon him. He must stand certain basic tests. He must be apparently of good material. He must be a man who shows good prospects of being capable of being made into a good Mason. If he had not been a good man, he should have never been proposed for membership. In changing a rough ashlar into the perfect ashlar, the workman takes away and never adds to. He chips and chips. He cuts away the rough edges. He removes the visible flaws. He does not create, by chemical means or otherwise, a new material. He takes that which is already there and develops it into the perfect ashlar. The stone from which the Venus de Milo was carved by an unknown sculptor of ancient times lay since the beginning of time in the rocks of the island of Milo. A common unknown workman may have cut a huge piece of marble from the quarry, but it took a master artisan to carve out the beautiful statue. It took a good piece of marble and a skilled artist to produce the Venus de Milo. Not many operators in masonry can make a perfect ashlar, so there are not many perfect masons in our lodges. In our ritualistic and other work, we can take away much of the roughness, remove the sharp points, and obliterate the visible defects. We can produce a good mason as there is within our power to produce, but the essential thing is to have a good material upon which to work. This statement is applicable to all mankind, but to us as symbolic Masons, it is pregnant with meaning, for was not each one at the commencement of his Masonic career placed in the northeast corner as an example stone, in the hope that the stone so placed would, in the fullness of time, be wrought into a thing of beauty and acceptable to the builder? What does this poet say of the stone? Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common folks like you and me are builders for eternity? Each is given a kit of tools, a shapeless mass and book of rules, and each must make, ere life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. These are very true words. The kit of tools are those talents with which God has blessed us to enable us to fulfill our mission in life. We are told in the volume of the sacred law that one man received 5 talents, another 2 talents, and yet another only 1 talent. So that is our duty, for each to discharge his allotted task to the best of his ability and help those who have not been so well blessed as himself. Thus, each will be assisted in carving out the grand design of being happy and communicating happiness, and thereby of being more extensively serviceable to his fellow creatures. The shapeless mass is a man's character, and each one of us is his own architect, builder, and material. And like our predecessors, the operative masons, we each must show our craftsmanship in working out a perfect ashlar, fit to be tried by the square of his own conscience. The Book of Rules, the VSL. The great light will guide us to all truth, direct our steps in the path of happiness, and thus point out the whole duty of man. Let us pause for a moment and earnestly ask ourselves, which are we making, stumbling block or stepping stone? If a man's life is such that he cannot join in the grand design of being happy and communicating happiness to others, then he is a stumbling block, not only to himself, but to all those whom he has associated. If that man is a Freemason, he should study the ritual and discover the inner meaning so that he can learn to perfect his stone. Let us trace whence comes this perfect stone. An ancient charge provides that a moldstone shall be given to a visiting operative mason to enable him to demonstrate his craftsmanship. The stones were selected individual from the quarries to suit the requirement of the material building. As speculative masons, we obtain our moldstones from the quarries of life. Thus, when we receive an application for admission to our lodge, it is our duty to carefully scrutinize all the credentials of the applicant from every angle, so that only approved materials is admitted to the craft. Freemasonry can and does improve good material, but it cannot make bad material good. As with the operative mason, poor material would have endangered the material structure. So with us as speculative masons, a faulty ashlar will endanger the spiritual temple we are endeavoring to build. Having found by the strictest inquiry that the applicant or moldstone is suitable, we have by those inquiries knocked off some of the irregularities which surround him, and after his initiation, he is represented as the rough ashlar. That is, the stone is no longer the moldstone, but it is approximately a cube which still requires a considerable amount of dressing before the perfect ashlar, which is within it, can be brought to light. And the candidate is given him to knock off rough knobs and evanescence of his character. Later on, he finds that, although the common gavel and chisel are suitable for reducing the roughness, they are not capable of achieving perfection. As a craftsman, he receives another set of working tools, one of which is essential to perfection, namely the square. And here he learns that it is only by continual grinding and many applications of the square that the stone can be brought to a true die or cube. In his capacity as a craftsman and as a man of the world, he is continually coming into contact with his fellow, and he learns to control his passions and to recognize the rights of others, with the result that the stone he is working upon, namely his character, is gradually taking shape as a perfect ashlar. Later, he is called upon to hand his stone over to the builder, who cuts a beveled hole on the top so that the stone can be attached to a lewis and be hoisted up, ready to be placed on the base assigned to it by the builder. Thus, he is reminded that the rope, the lewis, and the crane represent all the sustaining power of God, and that if he has discharged his duty faithfully in accordance with the precepts laid down in the VSL, he may rest assured that when his final summons comes, he will find that the great builder will have prepared a place for him in that great spiritual temple, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Finally, let us consider this perfect ashlar from the geometric point of view. Looking at the perfect ashlar as it stands in the lodge, we notice that it has six equal and exactly similar sides, and that no matter how it is placed down on the level, it must stand on one of its faces and present a similar face to the observer from any point of view. It is the only geometrical body which requires no support from its fellows, but when placed in line with similar cubes, demands its own space and lines up with the others on top, bottom, and sides.
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry. And this has been the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast, produced in cooperation with the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of providing a common stock of vetted Masonic information to all of the constituent lodges of all of the member jurisdictions, and is made possible through a generous grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota, who have been engaging and inspiring good men who believe in a supreme being to live according to the Masonic tenets of brotherly love, relief, and truth since 1853.